I mean, Randy, you summed it up perfectly. This is the last week of our Uprising series. Ready? Yeah, technically, right. But this is not the end of the Uprising. That is so important, I'm going to say it again. We are going to end the series today, but it is in no way, shape, form, or fashion the end of the Uprising. The Uprising is just beginning. We're going to have a couple of three-week series coming up here soon. Stranger Verses Volume 2 is going to return for a few weeks. If you remember that one from a couple years ago, we explored these really, like, weird verses from the Bible. You know, those kind of stories or verses where you're like, seriously, that's in the Bible? Yes, it is. And we're going to have some fun. So that'll be about 3 weeks. Then we have a neat one for November coming. excited about that. Today is the last day. And I have casually alluded to this here and there, as has Adam throughout the series, but we're going to drill down into this a little bit more, and that is that sometimes a Jesus-style uprising actually requires sitting down. Stay with me. I don't know how else to sum this up other than to say the world is a hot mess. I mean, the hottest, just getting hotter, evidently. it is incomprehensible to me sometimes when I turn on the news what I see. It is incomprehensible to me what I personally experience around town, in my own life, in my own interactions. And if you're anything like me, I am really losing my grasp on hope. I'm trying. I'm really, really trying. But some days are really, really hard. I'll talk in a little more detail about my struggle in a minute. And so recently, in particular, I have been asking myself, are our culture's uprisings, are they helping? Are they healing? Because that is what a Jesus-style uprising is all about, right? Healing. We would use the language here of mending God's creation. If you're going to follow Jesus, if you're going to be about Jesus's uprising, the end goal should be wholeness. All things made new. A Jesus-style uprising insists on healing and mending. So, as I'm watching the news and I'm listening, I'm asking myself, these uprisings we're constantly seeing, are they healing or are they harming? Because one thing is certain. This is kind of one of those, like, I think it's hard to argue at this point. We come, we gather, we have our uprisings, we scream at each other, we say horrific things to each other, people are injured, on and on and on, and then people retreat to their camps. This is an image of an army camp, and I think it really is a wonderful metaphor because we feel like we're going to battle. And then it's back to our sides. And here's the thing about a Jesus-style uprising. For a while in my journey following Jesus, I would have said, Jesus invites us out of our army camps to come shake hands and engage in a sort of truce. I no longer believe that. Because I believe, and Adam reminded me of this a few days ago, no, Jesus is about way more, friends, than shaking hands and engaging in a truce. I think that's the Jesus we're comfortable with. That's the Jesus we like to hang on our wall. But the Jesus who refuses to let me go and become complacent and overly comfortable in my beliefs, that Jesus actually invites us to a totally different camp altogether. It's way more than a truce. It's way more than tolerance. It's way more than making nice or pretending. It's a different camp altogether. And that camp, it is costly. It will challenge you. And it will transform you and us. This is one of my heroes. He is still with us. He is very ill, but he is still with us. And Archbishop Desmond Tutu, for those of you listening to the podcast, this is who I'm talking about, has a tremendous amount to say about what we're talking about here today. Reconciliation is the theological word for what we're talking about here today. But he says, differences are not intended to separate, to alienate. We are different precisely in order to realize our need of one another. We are different precisely in order to realize our need of one another. File that away. So here's the thing. This whole retreating to our army camps, this whole, you know, choosing sides, and all that comes from that level of division, that ever-widening chasm between the camps, this is nothing new, friends. Now, I don't think I've seen anything like this in my relatively short lifetime. I will say that. But if you look at the bigger picture of human history, we've been here before. And Jesus certainly understood it. So I want to explore briefly a story that illustrates how Jesus invites us to a different kind of camp, if you will. I want you to meet Zacchaeus. I love this picture. Is he standing on this guy's head? So I've told you before, I have so much fun with Google Images, like getting ready for Sunday morning messages. So I'm like scrolling. He's standing on that guy's head, whoever that guy is. I'm so sorry for him. But anyway, meet Zacchaeus. Now, if you ask a whole lot of people, what do you know about Zacchaeus? What is the first thing they're going to say? Or perhaps sing. Zacchaeus was a... For the Lord he wanted to see. That's right. Yes, exactly. And if you don't know that song, we will rehearse later. And you can join the band and sing next week. But all right, so here's the deal with Zacchaeus. And this is such a rich, rich story, as the gospel stories tend to be, because there's so many different ways to read and interpret this. So he was we. the scripture tells us, as you'll hear in just a moment, he was short of stature. I think I've always connected with him in this way because my nickname growing up literally was Shorty. That is what my father called me, particularly when I was in trouble, Shorty. Yep. So anyway, shout out to the Shorties of the world. Even more than that, though, you need to know that Zacchaeus was despised. And there was good reason for that. Because Zacchaeus was, not only was he a tax collector, but you'll hear in here, he was like the chief organizer of the tax collectors. He was the worst of the worst. And what you need to understand is he worked for the Romans. He worked for the empire. It is hard, I really thought about it, it is hard to find a good like metaphor, source of comparison to help you understand how hated he would have been. He worked for the oppressor. He worked for the enemy, and he collected taxes from the most vulnerable, the poorest of the poor. A lot of the people Jesus hung out with, by the way, we'll get there in a minute, but And then he skimmed some for himself. So he literally was stealing from the poorest of the poor and equipping others to do that. You with me? I want you for a minute to stop and imagine someone you loathe, and don't pretend like you don't have someone. No. I want you to stop and just imagine maybe at a minimum someone who disgusts you. You don't have to loathe them, but somebody who makes you like curl your lip, and someone who disgusts you. This is Zacchaeus. All right. So as you'll hear in a moment, Jesus and his posse are passing through, because he rarely traveled alone, very rarely, if ever. And somehow Zacchaeus had gotten word of this. And so, because he's short, he's wee, he climbs up on that guy's head and then gets in a sycamore tree. All right, and now I'll let the story speak for itself. So Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through town. A man there named Zacchaeus, a ruler among tax collectors, was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he couldn't because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed up a sycamore tree so he could see Jesus, who was about to pass that way. When Jesus came to that spot, he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, come down at once. I must stay in your house today." So Zacchaeus came down at once, happy to welcome Jesus. Everyone who saw this grumbled, saying, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord," I love that, "look, Lord, I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anyone, I repay them four times as much." And Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this household, because he too is a son of Abraham. The human one came to seek and save the lost." All right, let's dig a little deeper. Again, many directions you can go with this story. So here's some things worth noting. First of all, Zacchaeus has clearly moved out of his zone of safety here. He's moved out of his bubble. And you know, never really thought about this much before last week. I'd always assumed the guy didn't have any friends at all, right? Because he's hated, he's despised, he's disgusting. And so I'd always, for whatever reason, kind of assumed he was hanging up out in this tree because he was lonely and kind of odd. But then Adam helped me realize, no, he probably had friends. Friends who were a lot like him. Other wealthy tax collector kind of friends. And so he probably lived a very comfortable life, surrounded by people who constantly reminded him, "Oh, it's okay," justifying his choices and their choices. You're with me, right? And we use this image weeks 1 and 2 of how we all wear headphones, metaphorical headphones, sometimes literal headphones, but we all have a way of putting on our headphones to drown out the world and to keep from hearing things we simply don't want to hear, and sometimes just to keep from experiencing or encountering things that may make us uncomfortable or that are a bit unsavory. You with me? We all do it. Absolutely. So for whatever reason here, and this is the beauty of Scripture, because we don't know for sure why, he takes off his headphones. He steps out of his safe zone and goes to encounter people who I'm pretty sure he knew were going to hate him. Why? Maybe it was the Holy Spirit. Maybe he'd had some interactions before this day. Maybe he just heard all about this Jesus guy. I don't know. That's part of the fun of Scripture. And here's the other interesting thing. So Zacchaeus stepped out of his bubble, but so did Jesus. You don't think about Jesus having a bubble, do you? Or maybe some biases? Maybe some preconceived notions? I don't know. I'd never really thought about that, but it's interesting to consider, for whatever reason, when Jesus made eye contact with and spoke directly to the enemy, he definitely stepped out of his bubble. And it is so obvious that his posse, the folks kind of cheering him on and traveling with him, did not like it. It says, everyone who saw this interaction, grumbled, saying, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. Man, we love to throw around that word when it's not hung on us, isn't it? Don't we? Yeah. Another thing worth noting is that the crowd is powerful. Public opinion is powerful, and we are foolish to pretend that it is not. And here's a point that this is kind of one of those, I hope you'll hang on to this in some way, shape, form, or fashion. We all have a Zacchaeus. Every single one of us have people in our lives who disgust us, whether we want to name it or not, whether we want to be honest about it or not. People we struggle with, people who make us extremely reactive. It just is. We all have a Zacchaeus. Sometimes that's a person, sometimes that's a group of people, or both. And we all have the potential to become the crowd. Just ask me. Now, full disclosure, it is not fun, pleasant, or easy to stand up here and be extremely vulnerable about my sin and my brokenness. However, I firmly believe that clergy should do that and do it more often. So I'm going to share a story, a brief story with you here. This happened recently, and I want to preface this by saying, I'm not proud of this. Please do not ever hear me holding myself up as a paragon of virtue, because that is comical. I struggle with the same things you do, probably more so, and I'm a work in progress and rely fully and completely on God's grace. So a couple of weeks ago, I was driving my daughter to a farm in Rockingham County, a place to volunteer. We were going to just kind of look at it, check it out. And on the way there, this is kind of back roads, Rockingham County, we drove past some land. And on that land were a number of political signs. Not just one, not just two, copious political signs. And there was one even endorsing a couple of candidates for 2020. They plan ahead. In the middle of all of these signs was, on a flagpole, a symbol that has been very controversial as of late. I will name it. It was the Confederate flag. And I'm going to be very honest. When I looked over and I saw this, I became the crowd. I did not set a good example in front of my daughter. For those of you listening to the podcast, she is affirming wholeheartedly what I am saying right now. I didn't. I started spewing insults that I'm not proud of. And I made assumptions about whoever these children of God are that are wrong. I became the crowd. And so I was sharing this again a couple days ago with Adam, and I was talking about this, and I'm like, I know it's wrong, and I struggle so much with some of the feelings and anger I have, and I am not right. And he said, yeah, let's take it a step further. How would you have felt had you seen Jesus standing there on that land talking to that individual or that family? And I said, I would feel like the crowd. Again, please hear me when I say I am not in any way, shape, form, or fashion saying my assumptions were correct. They weren't. And if I actually was a follower of Jesus, I'm trying to be, I would be moving toward these children of God as opposed to making ugly, unkind assumptions. Friends, if we're really honest and really vulnerable, we've all been the crowd. And we all are the crowd, and Jesus calls us to be better. So much better. So something changed in that moment. And I don't know, I was thinking this morning, was it a moment? Like maybe change had been happening for a long, long time, right? And that was like the camera-worthy shot there, Jesus talking to Zacchaeus in the tree and everything that happened. I don't know, but I do know whatever happened there was incredibly powerful. So here are just some questions. I'm never going to claim to have all the answers. As I've just told you, I am a work in progress and often am not proud of my thoughts and feelings. But do you think what happened there, that transformation, was it just that he was transformed merely by being in the presence of Jesus? Maybe. I don't know. That's what I assumed for years, that like it was that simple. Or maybe he was changed when he actually laid eyes on and encountered the people he was hurting. Because again, friends, you got to remember, the people who traveled with Jesus, they weren't the elites. They were the ignored, discarded riffraff of society in many ways. And so I wonder if it was this interaction, this sense of, oh my goodness, look at what I'm doing. I don't know, maybe it was both. Maybe the Holy Spirit got all up in there and just did some wacky stuff. I don't know. But I know one thing, and I do believe this. When Jesus shows up, he has a funny way of bringing his friends with him. I had this wonderful professor years and years ago in seminary. Some of you have probably heard me talk about Peter's story before. He's one of my heroes. He actually worked with Desmond Tutu to fight against apartheid in South Africa. But he would at times tell a sort of parable, and he would say, you know, here's the thing. We all are about inviting Jesus into our heart, right? We love to talk about Jesus in our heart. And he said, and that's all well and good. It really is. And he said, but sometimes I think if I'm going to say, Jesus, Will you please come into my heart? He says, Jesus says, absolutely. I would love to come into your heart. But can I bring my friends? And I'll tell you, my experience has been when Jesus comes into our hearts and brings his friends, they're often people we'd rather stay outside. You're very welcome, Jesus. You get a seat of honor in the left ventricle here. Not your friends, please. I don't want anything to do with your friends. And here's my list of reasons why. And Jesus says, nope, that's not how this works. If I come, so do my friends. So here's what we're really getting at today. The kingdom of God, God's dream, which is Desmond Tutu's language, becomes a tiny bit more of a reality, comes true just a little bit more when we have the courage to actually listen, particularly to people who are very, very, very different than we are. When we have the courage to listen to, and I mean really listen to, not sit there quietly refueling our arguments, but I mean really listen to and seek to see the image of God in our other, whoever that might be. God's dream, and I really do believe this, comes true one dinner at a time. One moment at a time, one lesson in humility at a time. But here's the thing. The choice is ours. I have to choose to step out of my camp and to step into Jesus's camp. And that is risky, and that is scary, and it requires humility, and it requires the willingness to make mistakes, and it takes more courage than I think I might have sometimes. And that's why I've got to open myself up to the power and transformation of the Holy Spirit. I can't do this on my own. I'm too prideful. And my ego's too big. So it comes one dinner at a time, one moment at a time, one vulnerable space at a time, and I really mean this, one cup of coffee at a time. We're gonna mend creation by God's grace, one cup of coffee at a time. When in doubt, more caffeine. All right. So, I think I jokingly said last week, yes, it was last week, that in the early days, Amy's here, woo! In the early days of planning this sermon series, Amy and Adam and I were like, yeah, let's go like do an actual uprising. And by the way, there is a time and a place for those. Please do not hear me putting those down by any stretch. But we were going to do this, and we were going to make signs, and we were going to go out to Court Square, and then we realized it would probably be like two of us. Like, you know, nothing worse, nothing more sad than like, yeah. So, and then we started talking about, is that really what Jesus calls us to, right? And, but we felt like we couldn't just end the series. We had to say this uprising has to continue. The world needs us, by God's grace, to keep on keeping on here in our corner of creation. Okay, so we got to offer a challenge. We got to do something. If it's not, you know, march around Court Square with a sign, what is it? What is Jesus calling us to do? And so we started to talk about this, got to be this different camp, this third way. And I started thinking about, who do I know who has this gift of bringing the camps together? Who has this gift of bringing folks out of their bubbles and into the Jesus camp? Again, it's so much more than tolerance or a truce, friends. So much more. And so then I realized my buddy Thomas is just, it's his gift, one of many, actually. And so we sat down and talked about our call toward encountering our Zacchaeus. That maybe that's the uprising Jesus is really calling us to. That maybe it's not what we'd initially thought at all, but maybe it's sitting down and encountering the other, whoever that might be, and realizing, oh my goodness, I need this person to be completely human. So we're trying a thing. Now, I don't know. I don't know how this will go. It might take off, or it might get, I don't know. But we're going to try, right? Because one thing I'll say for Rise with great, great pride is we are not afraid to try. We are not afraid to try. And so we are launching something that we're calling the Zacchaeus Project. And now brace yourselves, because you might feel a little nauseous when I tell you what this is about. Keep an open mind. I'm going to do it. I don't ask people to do anything that I'm not willing to do myself. So the concept here is that you will opt in. If you are interested in being a part of the Zacchaeus Project, there is no pressure whatsoever. But if you are interested in being a part of the Zacchaeus Project, you will give us your name and information, and then we will follow up, and we will ask you a few more things about you. Nothing too intrusive, I promise, but just to get to know you a little better. Then on the other end of things, Thomas is going to help Adam and I find a match for you. You're Zacchaeus. Someone who will have some very different worldviews and opinions than you might. And you both, because remember, you'll be this person, Zacchaeus. You with me? You both will agree to meet for coffee or tea or the beverage of your choice. Well, wait a minute. We might want to rethink that. I'm serious. We might want to rethink that. Okay. The non-alcoholic beverage of your choice. I don't need Harrisonburg talking about how Rye starts bar brawls, okay? Golly. We get enough press, guys. All right. Coffee or tea or kombucha, okay? And you will sit down and you commit to 1 hour. 1 hour. And we'll structure it for you a little bit, because I know you're like, that sounds horrifically awkward. It's okay. Trust us. And I trust Thomas and when it comes to this more than I trust myself, okay? We're going to try to create the safest environment we possibly can. And I want to say, I am seeing some of your faces, and I know that you are thinking, ain't no way I'm going near this, okay? Because you have been deeply harmed by people saying deeply insensitive and cruel things. And if that is your story, I totally understand if you don't want to do this. Because I can stand up here all day long and tell you we're going to work hard to make this safe and only match you with a safe person who, yes, may be different. I can tell you that, but I understand how real trauma is, okay? So you opt in to this. Are you all with me? Okay, so this is the Zacchaeus Project. Step one today, you know, when I put it on a clipboard, it means I'm serious. All right, so step one today is to indicate interest. That's all you're indicating today, that you are interested in this. You're not signing up. You're just saying, I'd like to know more, okay? And if you're not even interested, that's okay too. You can flip over the paper if we run out of room, but if you want to know more, we are starting small. We are starting one-on-one, and then we're going to see where this goes. It takes tremendous courage. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit. But my personal bias is these are the interactions that will actually change the world. And as I said, I'm going to do it too. And I have a funny feeling that Thomas and the Holy Spirit are going to match me with the person I need the most. Let us pray. God, sometimes it would be a lot easier to make an angry sign and go out and march. It would be easier than sitting down and encountering your beloved children who we disagree with. It's easier to make assumptions, to say ugly, dehumanizing things, than it is to realize we need our other, we need our Zacchaeus. And that if we're serious about following Jesus, then it is going to cost us, and it is going to make us uncomfortable. Give us the courage we need to take the first step out of our camps, because we all are firmly planted in them, whether we realize it or not. We don't want the world to be this way. Our hearts break on so many levels. But remind us that the choice really is ours, and that you give us the freedom and the power to live differently. Give us the courage to envision a different world. And now we ask that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon these gifts of the bread and the cup. May they be for us the body and the blood of Christ, so that we might be for all of your beloved children, particularly the Zacchaeuses in our lives and those we struggle with the most. May we be the risen body of Christ, set free to live and to love and to laugh and to cry together. May we be the risen Jesus, reaching out, sitting down, and listening. Your world is so broken, and this thing called the church is a hot mess, and there are days when we just don't know what to do. Perhaps today you've given us just a glimpse. So help us to work for justice and to humble ourselves. And remind us, as we're trying to hold on to hope, remind us that there will come a day when there will be no more mourning or crying or pain or death, when all things are made new, and when we can feast with your Son at his everlasting celebration. And the thing about that celebration is, it is highly likely we are going to be seated right next to the person we struggle with the most right now. We long for that day when all of your children will be gathered in, and we all will know how very much we are loved. Through your Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, now and forever, world without end. Amen.